Well, we are in a series that I've called the Prophetic Scriptures, and the question is, what lies before us? Now, some of these things will be familiar to some of you, but brand new to others of you. And I'm giving this so that whenever we speak of prophetic things in the future, you know where these things belong as far as the picture from the Word of God is concerned. Now, we have taken two messages to prepare ourselves to look at the prophetic scriptures, and we have seen the major events that are behind us, and we have looked at the major views of what lies before us. We said that the literal or normal approach to Bible interpretation is the system that is to be used for prophecy just as well as for the rest of Scripture. I cannot overemphasize the importance of that sentence. The normal, literal approach to Bible interpretation is the key. We saw that the major events spoken of in the Bible that determine what we know about what lies before us, we call prophecy. Only the Bible believer with the right system of interpretation knows what lies before us. Did you hear that? Only the Bible believer with the right system of Bible interpretation. All kinds of Bible believers who are using, I believe, the wrong system of interpretation do not know what lies before us. Bible believers that hold to the amillennial or postmillennial views, we think, do not know most of the events that lie before us yet. The cults and the unbelieving world do not know anything at all of what lies before us. They guess or grope in the dark. They have no information about the future. And all of what I will present to you about the future is based on what I view as the right system of Bible interpretation. I'm not alone in this, by the way. There are still a good many teachers and preachers who hold to this. And I am very convinced of the rightness of the method of the normal literal approach to Bible interpretation, which will tell us what lies in the future. So the first and important event I want to talk about this morning is the rest of the church age. You see, the church age has not finished yet. We're still in the church. We're still in the church age. And so we want to talk about the closing days of the church age. What will it be like in the very last part of the church age? Well, about 30 AD, on Pentecost Day, the church was born. The church is made up of all born-again believers, all those who have been saved by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord Jesus described what the 2,000 years of the church age would be like in the parables of Matthew chapter 13. We've spent a good amount of time on those. They're available on CD or tape if you wish to have those messages. And I believe Revelation chapters 2 through 3, we had the last church read for us this morning, Revelation chapter 3, that these seven churches of Revelation chapter 2 and 3 are prophetic in a sense and give us the church age in seven time periods. Now, I am not alone in that view either, nor did I come up with that. I believe it is correct, though. And I believe that we are in the closing days of the church age. The scripture that was read for you this morning was the church of Laodicea, which speaks of people rule Laodicea. People rule the day and age in which we are. And it speaks of a lukewarm church. That's the last church. I believe that very shortly, the next significant time period will begin on earth, which is known as the Great Tribulation. I also believe that Jesus will come and take his own home to heaven before the Great Tribulation. Now, we're going to talk about some of the reasons why I hold to that view and see why that is. We're going to talk about what the rapture is. What is it? And what is going to happen at this time? My question to us this morning is, what will life be like on earth just before Jesus returns? Does the Bible tell us? The church age has not closed yet, so there is still at least some time before the end of the church age. Is there any indication in Scripture of what life will be like in the closing days of the church? I think there is. And it is this that makes me think that we are in the very last part of the church age. So what will the spiritual climate be like on earth just before the Lord returns? I'd like you to take your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to read verses 1 through 3. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Well, some will depart from the faith. Doctrines will be changed and cause some to depart from the truth. I believe doctrines of demons are not very terrible sounding doctrines. They are doctrines that sound very right, but they lead off the path. These are doctrines of demons, not doctrines about demons. Doctrines which have demons behind them as the source. What will it be like in the closing days of the church? People will depart from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. What will it be like in the last part of the church age? But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Here's another description of what it will be like in the end of the church age. Now notice verse 13 in this same chapter. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now I'll tell you what, I believe these are in the church already. Evil men and imposters. That we have doctrines twisted and turned. They sound oh so good. I think a lot of the seeker-friendly doctrine fall into this category. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So here's a picture of what it is like in many churches in our very own day. It describes a good section of evangelicalism today. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know what I told you about the doctrine of prophecy, one of the most disliked doctrines in our day. Doctrine of prophecy. You can go to church after church, I hear. Big, mega churches, they will not preach on doctrine or on the second coming of Christ, the return of Christ. Why? Because it divides people. What will the spiritual climate be like at the end of the church age? Well, this is what it's going to be like. Maybe, let's turn to 2 Peter for one more. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. And what will they be scoffing at? Well, they will be saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Where's the promise of his coming? 2,000 years now we've waited. Where's the promise of his coming? I wonder if it must not have been like that in the days of Noah. 120 years of preaching. All of a sudden it was over, but too late. Now, many teachers of the Word of God have taken Revelation chapters 2 through 3 as being prophetic of the church age as well. That is, the church will go through seven periods of time. And if that is so, and there is ground for thinking so, then Revelation 3, 14 through 22 speak of the state of the church in the closing days of the church age. We have had it read for us before. You might want to jot it down and read it again. But Revelation chapter 3, let's take a few verses at least. Revelation chapter 3. And to the angel of the church of the Laodicean, by the way, Laodicea, you know what it's about, it's democracy. Laodicea, the church of democracy, people rule. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Why? You say you're rich and increased with goods, and don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, naked and blind, and so on. What will be the major political efforts at the time of the church, end of the church age? Go to 2 Thessalonians. What will it be like in the political world, at least with regard to some aspects of it? That's 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. I gather from this passage that the major political efforts of the closing days of the church age will be to bring about peace on earth. Does that describe today? Now, this passage has the phrase, the day of the Lord. This is a common phrase in Scripture. And do you remember your timeline? I should have a timeline here every time I preach on these messages now. When you have the tribulation and the millennium, those two together, as I understand it, are the day of the Lord. The tribulation is the night time. The millennium is the light time of the day of the Lord. There are several days spoken of in Scripture. There's the day of the Lord, there's the day of Christ, and there's the day of God. They are all different days. They do not speak of the same time. In 1 Thessalonians 5:3, it refers to the beginning of the day of the Lord, the tribulation. You see, verse 3 says, when they, the pronoun they here refers to the world, or especially the political world, for they are the ones who would seek to accomplish what follows. So it goes on to say, when they say peace and safety. Here is the political world finally able to announce to the world. Just imagine what it would be like if George Bush would be able to stand up today and say, we have achieved peace. No more war. No more bloodshed. The Arabs and the Jews are at rest. Can you imagine what kind of a day that is? That's coming. It's coming. Thessalonians tells us. When they say peace, we have achieved peace. We have achieved a time of safety. You can now live in peace. Do you know what it's like to live in Israel today? You never know when the bus you're traveling on may be bombed. You never know when the restaurant you're sitting in, McDonald's, you never know when the thing is going to blow up. They just long for peace. They are willing to sell God's land for peace. Peace and safety. You're describing our age? What will it be like in the closing days of the church age politically? There will be a constant effort to bring about world peace. The time and money spent into achieving peace today is immeasurable. Israel alone, do you know how much money the United States of America pumps into the Arabs in Israel alone? It is phenomenal numbers. Why? To try to bring about peace. Now our passage goes on to say, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon an expecting woman. This is the beginning of the day of the Lord, the tribulation. What will the closing days of the church age be like politically? There will be tremendous energies poured into bringing about peace and safety. Are we there? What will the news be like? Well, look at Revelation or Matthew chapter 24. What will it be like in the news? Matthew chapter 24. Verses 4 through 7. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. Now some hold that these verses describe the beginning of the tribulation, and there are some considerable similarities between this passage and Revelation chapter 6. But I think it describes the time just prior to the tribulation or at the end of the church age. Verse 8 goes on to say, all these things are the beginnings of sorrows. It will be noteworthy to you that the word translated sorrows is in this verse is the word for birth pangs. We just read about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now it says that all these things mentioned in verses 5 through 7 are indicators. They are the beginnings of pangs. You see, they're light. They're indicators that something is about to happen. Something is about to happen. When these things happen, then you know something else is very near. Well, what is near? It is the time we know as the tribulation. Verse 9 says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation. Verse 21 says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. If you have read of the Jewish Holocaust, and we say this time will be worse, you know what it will be like. It will be indescribably terrible. So first, it will be a time of spiritual unrest. We have this in verses 5 through 7. Verses 4 and 5. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. Never have more people claimed to be Christ than today. That's quite a few years ago. Billy Graham said, in California alone, not surprising, California. In California alone, there were over 200 people who said, I am Jesus Christ. And they were leading all kinds of people astray. That's quite a few years ago. And these folk, the Bible tells us, will deceive many. So where are we? You see, it is a time of spiritual unrest. Do you know how much effort is put into indoctrinate the West that Islam is a peace-loving nation? It is a lie so black. It is a lie so black that nobody should dare even say so. Have they read the Quran? The Arabs' own writings, they say this is a peace-loving people. Yes, they love peace. That's when everybody is dead except the Arab. You don't believe it? Just read their literature. I understand our own Canadian schools want to teach Islamic classes in our schools at taxpayers' expense. Wonder what they would say if we wanted some time. A time of spiritual unrest. Second, just before the tribulation, there will be a time of tremendous political unrest. Verses 6 and 7, first part of verse 7. You will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Is that the news today? Well, as never before. For some time we heard about Iraq. Today we hear about Iran. You know what Christians are saying? You know what this is what Israel has been saying for a long time now. Keep your eyes on Iran. Even when they had the Iraq trouble, they said, keep your eyes on Iran. You know what the church is saying? Those who believe in the literal normal approach today, you know what they say? Keep your eyes on Iran. Do so. We'll see many things, I believe. Do we hear of wars and rumors of wars? Well, when you look at this tiny nation of Israel, that's all they hear. That's life there. We hear some of that from here as well. Then it will be a time of natural unrest. That is, nature will be behaving in strange ways. There will be famines. We hear famines in the news. Then this text tells us that there will be pestilences. You know what pestilences are? They are deadly diseases. They are deadly maladies. Do you know that in the 1940s, with the discovery of penicillin, you know what doctors said? They said, we can see on the horizon the end of all deadly maladies. 30 years later, we were introduced to AIDS. Today, AIDS is mutating and bringing about new kinds of AIDS at such a rate that it looks impossible. In Africa alone, they tell us that one of the states in Africa will die off entirely from AIDS. The worst deadly malady ever known to man is upon us today. Furthermore, Jesus says there will be earthquakes in various places. Did you know, prior to the 1940s, about one killer quake in 10 years, now over 100 in the same time period. Do we have our ears up? Where are we? A time of natural unrest, a time in which the earth will behave in strange ways. And the earth today is preparing for a new time. What will life be like in general? Well, turn to a few little further in Matthew 24, 36 through 39. What will life be like in general? Now, I know some disagree on this interpretation of the passage, even pre-tribulational, premillennialists, so on. But this is how I view this passage, verses 36 through 39. But of that day and hour, I believe that refers to the rapture. We'll talk a lot more about that yet. Not even the angels of heaven know, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Here we have a picture of what life will be like on earth in general. Later on, I want to show you something. What will life on earth be like at the end of the tribulation? Here's for all my post-trib friends. What will life on earth be like at the end of the tribulation? Will it be life as usual? Anything but life as usual. Here is the rapture, I believe, before the tribulation, and it is life as usual. They will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage and so on. Now, I've heard good number of preachers preach on this text, and they preach as if there's something wrong with eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And it's going to be really bad. They're going to be eating places all over the place. You know what the point of the passage is here? It will be life as usual. They will be eating and drinking at the end of the tribulation. Are they eating and drinking and marrying and giving in tribulation or giving in marriage? No. They're begging for the rocks and hills to fall on them and kill them. The point of the passage here is not that there's anything wrong with these things. As a matter of fact, there's something wrong if you don't do them. When there isn't marrying and giving in marriage, there's something wrong with that. What this passage teaches us is that the time of the Lord's return for mankind in general will be life as usual. You know how it will be? Just like it is here this morning. That's what it's going to be like. Nobody will be expecting anything unusual, and all of a sudden it will be over that fast. Over. The Lord will have taken the righteous away. So what will it be like just before the Lord returns? It will be life as usual. Look at verse 39. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. What was it like in Noah's day just before the flood? Well, people ate and drank and married until the rains came. Right until the very end. No one suspected a thing, even though for 120 years Noah had preached. New Testament calls him a preacher of righteousness. It was life as usual one day, and the very next day they were floating on the waters. What will it be like when Jesus comes for the church? Just like that, it will be life as usual. No one will suspect a thing. It will be just like it is today. And then, just as suddenly, the greatest event for mankind, from man's perspective, will take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Luke further describes this time as being like that of Lot. Look at the book of Luke for one moment. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, 28 through 30. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Verse 30, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Well, what was life like in Sodom and Gomorrah before it rained fire and brimstone in those cities? You know what it was like? Just like it is here today. It was life as usual. They were planning things just like we do today. Somebody's planning to get married, and they were eating and they were drinking, and just like that, it was all over. There's something not mentioned in these texts that is similar to today as well. You know that in Noah's day and in Lot's day, two very outstanding similarities to our day are the sin and immorality that was so prominent at that time. And yet, they continued to live as usual. Today, sin and immorality is at very high levels. We need to be warned by this, that judgment is near. Maybe this is a moment for me to share a few concerns here for our young men. You know, I said recently to someone, I do not know how a young man is supposed to grow up pure in our day. Our young men, oh, I know ladies too, but I know life is different for men and ladies. Our young men are bombarded to such a degree in so many ways. I wonder
how shall they stay pure? Young men, maybe older ones too, you know, at our very fingertips lies immorality of all kinds. If you have fallen, you see, you may be here this morning and you are hooked. Hooked. And you cannot come free. This snare will steal your soul. I had a note. From one of our young men. He said that the vice of pornography is at unbelievable proportions among Christians, and especially out of internet. Unbelievable amounts of people who call themselves Christians. And this young man said, you need to preach on this. What was it like in Noah's day? What was it like in Lot's day? This young man said he found help by making himself accountable to someone else. There is a word to the wise. Pornography of all kinds exists now and is so readily available. I want to avail myself to you to talk to if you wish. I am grateful for young men who have come already to ask for help. And I'd like to avail myself to anyone else. I think I could tell you some helpful things. And I might be able to help you find someone to be accountable to. And to our ladies, now that the hot summer days are here, I want to exhort you this morning, dress yourselves. I can tell you, by and large, I am very happy with this church. Here's my advice for you, ladies. Don't dress as you think appropriate. Ask your husband or your dad. They know. You don't. I want to give one personal word here. These pants that are so low in the front, you know, not enough material to go up high enough. It's one of the more despicable designs of the devil yet. And along with those pants goes a stance. And this morning, in the love of God, I want to entreat you, on behalf of our Lord and on behalf of our young men, don't wear those. And one final word. Hear me well. I have to tell myself this.
immorality and pornography will never satisfy. Did you hear? It will never deliver what it promises. Never. Never. No matter how much we may think so, it will never satisfy. Did you hear? It is a robber. It is a thief. Follow it, and it will rob you. And I want to tell you again, it will never satisfy. Never. Never. Think of this the next time you want to type in this site on the computer. It will never satisfy. It will never deliver what it promises. And the sooner you cut all of it, I would give one more word. I would even advise parents with young children to keep some of their catalogs in different places. If you're training up young boys. And may the Lord be pleased to bless these few words. Why have I mentioned these things this morning? Because we are talking about what life will be like at the close of the church age. What will life be like just before the Lord returns? Well, I gather from the example of the days of Noah and the example of the days of Lot that it will be a time of great immorality. No, I'll tell you something. This thing sneaks up. And things that once we would never have tolerated, we now tolerate in our own homes. So let me conclude. We've looked this morning at the closing days of the church age. You see, the days that we have left from here until the rapture or the tribulation are days that are still in the future. And we have seen this morning that the scriptures address those days. We looked at what things would be like spiritually. It would be a time of doctrinal deception. I can't warn high enough on doctrinal deception in the church. Then it would be a time of selfish living. Evil men and seducers spiritually will grow worse and worse. Christians will seek for preachers who will tickle their ears. You know what that sounds like? Seeker friendly, doesn't it? That is, they will preach what the people want to hear. And people will scoff at the near return of Christ. That seems to me to speak of the dislike for doctrine, especially the doctrine of prophecy in our day. And then if the church of Laodicea is a picture of the church in the close of the church age, it pictures a lukewarm church claiming itself to be rich when in fact it is spiritually very poor. What of the political world? What will it be like? It will be a time of great energies poured into making peace in this war-ravaged world. What will be reported in the news? Well, the news will indicate that in the closing days of the church age, there will be a time of spiritual unrest in the news, political unrest, a time of unrest in nature, the world behaving in strange ways, deadly diseases, famine, earthquakes will be common. And what will life be like for most of the world when the Lord returns? It will be a time of life as usual. It will be a time when people eat and drink and get married and are given in marriage. It will be life as usual for the most part. The world will be totally oblivious to the ominous clouds of darkness already visible on the horizon. For the most part, they will live as if life will be like this forever. As a matter of fact, man may make himself better and better till we overcome all of these difficulties. Never suspecting that at any moment the most incredible event of all history is about to take place. And this world will be plunged into its darkest hour to occur in all time on this side of eternity. I wonder this morning if you are here and you are not ready to go. You know what the Bible says? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, I will encourage you to talk to someone. Ask what to do and make this the day that you make your decision, because tomorrow we may not be here. And tomorrow we're going to talk more about what it will be like for people who have heard this message and enter the tribulation. What will it be like for them? We'll see more of that later. Well, may the Lord bless these words to us this morning.